evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Current Affairs. I am Anubha Rohatgi. Early last month, the Unified Payments Interface, which we all know as UPI, completed 10 years of operations. It was launched April 11, 2016, by the National Payments Corporation of India, NPCI, under the regulatory oversight of the Reserve Bank of India. And so today we are discussing UPI's role in strengthening India's digital payment infrastructure. Economic analyst Sharad Kohli now joins me in the program to share his views and insights on this issue. Mr. Kohli, welcome to Akashvani's Current Affairs program.
Good evening, Anubha, to you and all the Akashvani listeners.
Mr. Kohli, it has been a decade since India adopted UPI, and during this period, it has expanded nearly 12,000-fold in transaction volume and more than 4,000-fold in transaction value. So in numbers, this means that while there were 2 crore UPI transactions in FY 2016-17, they surged to 24,162 crore in financial year 25-26, and the transaction value rose from 0.07 lakh crore rupees to approximately 314 lakh crore rupees in the same period. Now, Mr. Kohli, these are mind-boggling figures and underscore how a seamless, real-time, bank-to-bank transfer system evolved from a pilot project into the backbone of India's digital payments ecosystem. I would like you to share your thoughts on the extraordinary scale and momentum that UPI has demonstrated since its adoption.
Well, Anubha, the numbers just look like a number, but as you rightly said, these numbers are mind-boggling. If you just look at the sheer value of transactions, 314 crore, which means we are doing 25 lakh crores per month, or maybe a little more than that per month of transactions. When you know the total number of, because I'm an economist, I come from the world of economics and finance. And when you look at this number of 314 lakh crore, somewhere close to this, just about a few years ago, our GDP used to be this much number. So you know this number.
Right.
For once, when you read it as a first impression, you feel, am I reading the total value of UPI transactions, or am I reading the total GDP of the country? And if you look at the volume of transactions, Anubha, 2,000 crore plus transactions per month. You can imagine, I mean, how many transactions, if I divide that into 30 days, if I divide it into weeks, into hours, into seconds, my goodness, before wink of the eye, probably hundreds and thousands of transactions they conclude. I think this has been one of the most, I would say, speedier revolution which has happened in the country. And I remember when it came in 2016-17, and I was amongst the first users, by the way. And when I spoke to some people, they said, no, it sounds very complicated. I have 2 bank accounts. I don't know how to link my bank accounts. I don't know how safe this is. And it seems like a very complicated process and so on. So, and soon, you know, in a matter of time, I found that from the vegetable vendor on the roadside to probably every other person was carrying it. And, you know, those wallets which used to be there, I don't want to name those you know, private wallets, but those wallets used to carry money. There were cases of money being lost. There were cases of problems in retrieving the money from those wallets. And suddenly those wallets had to change their business model from being carrying money of other people to being link points for UPI. So I think all the bank accounts, they came together in the form of a single touch of a button. And, you know, anecdote comes to my mind, and this happened last week. In fact, people have been telling me about this earlier also. I went to a wedding and, you know, you go on the stage, and it's custom in India to go and give some gift to people. So sometimes when you're not carrying a physical gift, when you're not carrying a bouquet, you tend to give a little bit of money, you know, 2,100, 5,100. This is a standard norm in Indian weddings.
Yeah.
And I found there was this plate right next to the bride and the groom, which said no cash.
Oh, wow.
I said, probably these people are not accepting gifts.
Right.
No, but lo and behold, I found there was a QR code there. And I found anybody who was coming on stage, they were asked to pay through QR code. So, I mean, temples like Tirupati taking donations by way of UPI. Weddings, as I said, shagun being given by way of vegetable vendors on the roadside, coconut sellers on the road. It has been a revolution in the country. This has been one of the most noticeable revolution that I've ever seen happening in terms of the world of finance and financial inclusion. So I give a lot of credit to Jam Trinity, the Jan Dhan Aadhaar mobile, because when you link your account, there is the KYC because of your Aadhaar and because of your account, you know, the way people have been included in bank accounts. And I remember when...
Mr. Kohli, as you were just saying that you were one of the first people to have, you know, to take up this UPI transaction format of payment. So in another lifetime before UPI, financial transactions meant either cash transactions or spending a lot of time, effort and patience if one had a bank account. It also meant that a large section of a population either remained outside the formal financial system or was underserved. So how crucial has the role of UPI been as a driver of financial inclusion?
In fact, you'll be surprised that when UPI came, you know, people were a little hesitant of financial inclusion when we talk in terms of Jan Dhan account.
Yes.
Because a lot of people used to say that, what will I do with an account? You know, because never in their life before, they had ever seen a bank or they had ever stepped into a bank, shall I say. So they said, I mean, we keep our money at home. You know, we've got those small bits of cash lying under the mattress or, you know, behind the home temple, the cupboard and so and so. And, you know, it was UPI which probably triggered financial inclusion here. So I think the whole catch of UPI, as far as I'm concerned, and you spoke of the pre-UPI era. Let's talk of the pre-UPI era. There were checks, there were demand drafts, there were pay orders. And of course, some of the wallets existed, which were gradually getting into the system. But people were hesitant to get into those wallets because of various frauds happening, because they were not just comfortable with having the wallet out there. So I think the financial inclusion, they have been mutually complementary. Financial inclusion meant UPI and UPI meant financial inclusion. So I give a lot of credit of Jan Dhan to UPI and vice versa. I give a lot of credit of UPI to Jan Dhan as well. That's the way I'd like to look at this, Anubha.
Right. So what key factors in terms of policy, technology or even user behavior enabled UPI to scale faster than the previous systems of IMPS or even the wallets that you've been mentioning?
Well, it was absolutely magical because the moment people started using smartphones, you know, the elders in the house, they were always hesitant that this was meant for, you know, the young population, the tech savvy population, you know, the younger lot. And I remember, you know, grandchildren teaching their parents and grandparents, I can make the payment. You will go and make the payment. I can make it while sitting out here. So it was, I think, a generational change. And once that grandpa or grandma, once they got used to it, they never had to go back to their grandchildren or children to make them learn. So this lowered the transaction cost. I think the big change which came was lowering the transaction cost. It reduced cash handling costs. Look at the 314 lakh crores of annual transactions are happening, Anubha. You can imagine if this wasn't there, this would have been handled by cash or by banking transactions. Look at the volume. Then, of course, it was the speed for me, which is the biggest takeaway. By wink of an eye, the money reaches from one account to the other and assimilating all the bank accounts under one single app. So that was the other takeaway. And then, of course, reduced leakages, reduced inefficiencies which were in the system. There were some hiccups in the beginning. But I think NPCI has done a fantastic job because with each passing year, I think this has become more secure. This has become more trustworthy for the people to be using them.
Right. And before we take this discussion further, let me bring into our discussion senior journalist Aditi Tandon. Aditi, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Ms. Tandon, as I was discussing with Mr. Kohli, you know, it's been 10 years since the launch of the Unified Payments Interface or the UPI, and it has played a very crucial role in strengthening India's digital payments infrastructure. How do you look at the 10-year journey of the UPI since its adoption in April 2016?
There are multiple layers to the achievement that India has had through the Unified Payments Interface. There is a takeaway for the deepening of financial inclusion framework in the country. Then there is also, you know, the diplomatic angle where a lot of countries are now showing interest in the Indian model and are even adopting it. The third thing is that it has made lives of people easier. See, Prime Minister Modi's largest and most important ambitious agenda is basically to reduce governance and to improve ease of living. So if you measure the UPI success of the past 10 years from that yardstick, there are multiple takeaways. For instance, you know, you can pay money anytime, anywhere. There is no need to stand in any queue or wait for bank hours for transactions to happen. You know, UPI lets people send and receive money instantly, 24/7, right from your mobile phone. So that's the takeaway for a general consumer. Then what is happening is there's one app for all the accounts. So what is happening is managing money has become very easy. People can simply do what link their bank accounts in one app instead of juggle through multiple platforms. So that is a big change in the lives of people. Then you see there is a safe and quick payment mechanism with secure two-step authentication, which the UPI platform is now allowing. Payments can happen in seconds, and what is also guaranteed is safety, because everyone is concerned about safety. And then there's privacy also. Users do not have to share sensitive bank details. A simple UPI ID is enough. So, you know, it reduces risks for everyone, Anubha. And there's no more cash on delivery hassle.
Right.
So Aditi, that's the big outcome.
Ms. Tandon, that, you know, despite its digital format, UPI has seen a massive adoption across India, and not just in urban areas, but in rural areas as well. So what have been the biggest drivers of trust among the rural population and those that are the first-time digital users?
Anubha, when I was mentioning the financial inclusion bit, what UPI has done is it has democratized the entire financial and banking system.
Right.
It has done to our banking and finance what elections do to our democracy. So what was happening before is we all know that a lot of people did not even have bank accounts.
Yes.
So there was a very systematic framework that was laid. For instance, Jan Dhan account has become the bedrock of the entire financial inclusion system.
Right.
And on that bedrock, you keep on laying, that's the foundation, and then you keep on building the blocks. UPI is one such block. So what has it done to the rural economy of the country? It has brought the bank to the village. So you don't have to go anywhere. Like I was saying, initially what used to happen, Anubha, is before the UPI landscape came, digital payments in India were limited by, you know, what we knew as the closed loop system.
Right.
Now, what is a closed loop system in simple terms? Is a system where transaction can happen only within the same platform.
Okay.
For example, you know, there's a wallet app which allows to transfer only between its own users, not to a user who's using a different wallet.
Absolutely.
So what happened with UPI, it gave flexibility to the users, and a farmer sitting in the field was able to make retail purchase of seeds. In fact, seed delivery, it also is happening in so many villages. You know, now delivery systems are also being spruced up. So UPI changed all of that by bringing banks to the villages, and rural economy has strengthened so much. And now, you know, the data bears it out that across the world, 49% of all real-time payments are happening in India.
Right.
So which means, and you know, one outstanding figure with respect to UPI, which one can't actually get over, is that 66 crore transactions happen on a daily. Just imagine the scale.
Right. So before we take this discussion further, I want to share with you both, Mr. Kohli and Aditi, as well as our listeners, piece of information that data trends reveal a clear distinction in usage patterns. Person-to-merchant or P2M transactions account for 63% of total transaction volume, and of this, 86% of these transactions are below 500 rupees. In contrast, person-to-person, that is P2P transactions, contribute 71% of the total UPI transaction value. And within P2P payments, while 59% of the transactions remain below 500 rupees, substantial 41% exceed this threshold. So, Mr. Kohli, I'll get back to you. If we look at these figures, you know, about person-to-merchant transactions and, you know, person-to-person transactions, what do they tell you about the how UPI has evolved from a, you know, a very simple, easy to use format where, you know, it was used for very little, very day-to-day transactions to now, you know, being used for high volume transactions as well?
I think when we talk of P2M, that is person to merchant, we are talking of the retail aspect of the country, you know, the consumption pattern. This also defines the consumption pattern as to where people spend money. I mean, there are small shops in villages. You would not believe they don't collect a single rupee in cash. Anybody who comes there just UPIs and they are gone. I mean, they don't have a cash box anymore. They simply collect everything. And this has also brought, you know, formalization of the economy. You know, because a lot of cash transactions, Anubha, they used to go unreported.
Yes.
And it was a challenging task for the tax department, you know, indirect and direct both, to track down transactions, to track down revenue sales and so on. So, but now, I mean, when things are happening through UPI, with the convenience came automatic formalization of the economy. So I think if we talk of the total savings which the country has made, you know, a World Economic Forum report analysis came some time ago, which said that since 2016, we have probably saved about $67 billion because of UPI.
Right.
These savings have come in many forms, whether transaction costs, whether cash handling costs, whether evasion of tax, or shall I say leakages of tax here and there. That's a massive amount. I mean, apart from the convenience, look at the, you know, savings that the country is making at a macro level. And, you know, I definitely wanted to talk about the jammed trinity because, like Aditi spoke of, the Jan Dhan account. Let's not forget the Aadhaar and the mobile, the three cousins who work in tandem, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Jan Dhan, Aadhaar, mobile. I think that has been the fulcrum. That has been the, I would say, the spine of the whole system of UPI. And I think it will be unfair, Anubha, if we do not inform our listeners today that UPI technology doesn't come to an end where it is. UPI is an ever evolutionary concept, and it has been evolving since then. Right. A lot of people do not know about, for example, I don't know if many listeners have heard about UPI on credit lines.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about that as well. Yes, please.
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't know. And I think that is where people need to now add value plus services to UPI. And, you know, you were just talking about transactions less than 500 rupees. You know, there is something called UPI Lite, which means that you do not need to punch in your PIN because it's a very small transaction. And you can directly do it. A lot of people feel that if I don't have a smartphone, maybe I cannot make a UPI payment. That's not true, because there is a concept called UPI Lite X, where you can make offline payments. You know, that's a relatively new layer which a lot of people are not aware. So you can make transaction even from an analog phone. You don't necessarily need to have a smartphone. And then, you know, I recently came to know that when I found somebody withdrawing out of UPI ATM, that is a cardless cash withdrawal. You just scan your UPI and you can use the ATM to withdraw money. So essentially what I'm trying to insist here is that UPI is not the end of technology. This is an evolutionary process, and we can build on this to really, really bring that financial revolution in the country, Anubha.
Ms. Tandon, let's, you know, take this a little further. Like Mr. Kohli was talking right now about UPI Lite, UPI Credit Line, especially UPI Credit Line, you know, which enables financial institutions to, you know, shell out loans to people. How important is, you know, innovation like this for small merchants, for small enterprises, and for their progress?
It's very important, and I think the backgrounder that you just gave, Anubha, mirrors the importance of this particular nuance of the UPI system. And it is also important for everybody to realize that as of today, as we talk, the UPI is accounting for 85% of all digital transactions that are happening in India. So what this shows is that there is a full faith in the reliability of the system, and more and more people are turning to UPI for businesses, you know, for a range of other facilities also. For instance, there is a payment available for everything. People are using UPI not just for retail purchases or person-to-person transactions, also to pay your bills, to make donations, to recharge phones. You know, a simple thing like a recharge of a phone. You are not having to step out of your home anymore. So everything basically boils down to the ease of living, which is what then further powers the system. And what is very important to me is that how do you measure a system? Only recently, you know, there was a data point that came that Indian UPI had surpassed the American Visa in terms of the, you know, transactions that it was handling. Visa was handling daily transactions of about 63 crore, as against, I just said earlier, 66. That UPI was handling and is handling 66 crore. So we are even ahead of the American Visa system, which was a, you know, world accepted system.
Yes.
And look at how fast the Indian UPI framework has been accepted, not just in India, but by countries across right now, seven countries, including
eight countries.
The United Arab Emirates, you know, there's Singapore, there's Nepal, Sri Lanka, they're using it. And India has also proposed that UPI should be used by the BRICS framework.
Yes.
So all that is in the making. And when you say not just, that's a very small part of the entire system, that a lot of financial inclusion and business support is coming within the country, within our borders, for businessmen, for general consumers, for residents like you and me. But there is aspect of UPI that goes much beyond the border.
So now India has varying levels of literacy and economic diversity. So therefore, the risk and frauds, you know, the risk of fraud is equally high. How important are steps, including but not limited to enhanced authentication mechanisms for digital payment transactions that the RBI has introduced? How important are such steps in addressing these challenges? I would like both Mr. Kohli and Ms. Tandon, both of you to, you know, answer that. Let's begin with you, Mr. Kohli.
Well, I think that's always a challenge when a technology evolves. You know, there are always some mischievous minds who try and break into the technology, and they try and exploit the loopholes here and there. But then as soon as these loopholes get exposed, as I said, NPCI has been very, very prompt in plugging the loopholes, because the way the number of, I would say, frauds and the number of misuse or the number of unauthorized transactions we used to hear, let's say a couple of years ago, I'm sure they've gone down today. Even if you try and track the cyber fraud cell, you will find that the transactions or the fraud or the cyber fraud or a digital fraud which happens need not necessarily be because of the UPI system as such. It could be because of the carelessness of the user, that you give away your your PIN to somebody, you give away your password to somebody. It is not because of the structural defect in the UPI system. I think the whole mechanism has been made foolproof, it's been made airtight. So I think people of the country or the users need to be careful that when they're using it, they should make sure that UPI, the ease that UPI brings to you, you have to be careful, because you get a phone call and you reveal your PIN, that this is my PIN, or somebody innocently asks your password and you reveal your password. That is the care which needs to be taken. So whereas government or NPCI is doing its bit, I think it is also the responsibility of the people that if something is coming to you with ease, with convenience, with so much of facilitation, it is your duty to make sure that you act responsibly and you do not let it just flow through, where somebody can misuse your probably holes in your knowledge, or you don't know how to use the system, or what is the system all about. So I think that is the care I would advise through this show today to the listeners, Anubha.
Ms. Tandon, then in this context, it's, we're talking about the risk of fraud. How important is financial literacy, you know, to be, for people to be aware of the apps, or rather in this case, the UPI, the facility like Mr. Kohli was saying they're using, and how not to give, you know, how not to be taken in by any kind of scam?
Yeah, I think financial literacy makes people more aware, but you don't really have to be too much of a financial literate to basically prevent a fraud through the UPI system. For instance, all you need to remember, Anubha, is, you know, a four-step system which RBI has also propagated. There's a lot of awareness around it. What are these four steps that you have to remember when you are doing a UPI transaction? First is, like Mr. Kohli said, never share your PIN or MPIN with anyone, including your bank representative. Okay. Second is, you verify the merchant and the recipient, their name, their UPI ID before you initiate a payment.
Right.
Thirdly, everybody keeps telling you, we have, you know, jingles on radios and everybody tells us, RBI tells us, you avoid all unauthorized links or QR codes that come from unknown sources on your phone. And fourthly, you keep your UPI application updated. Basically, that is meant to ensure that the latest security patches are installed, because the system also, software also keeps getting upgraded. And the RBI has a very robust system. UPI payments are secured through multiple layers. And the most important framework is basically the multi-factor authentication, which is the MPIN and the device binding.
Right.
And then there's end-to-end encryption and the virtual payment addresses, which hide all your bank details. So unless you get trapped or defrauded and are foolish enough to do any of the things that you are not supposed to do, you are safe on UPI.
So as Ms. Tandon was earlier talking about how UPI, which began as a domestic payments innovation, it has now today evolved into a global benchmark in digital payments. In fact, the International Monetary Fund has acknowledged it as the world's largest real-time payment system by transactions volume. So how is UPI's growing international footprint strengthening India's role in the global fintech landscape? Mr. Kohli.
Well, the biggest and the most prominent anecdote that comes to my mind in this regard is the G20, which happened not too long ago, where some of the foreign diplomats and delegates and heads of state, they wanted to walk on the street and somebody buying a coconut from the roadside. And, you know, they said it's magical. I mean, how in a jiffy we could probably make the payment. So I think the world has now recognized that if 49% of world's digital transactions, we should keep in mind, not India's, if that is happening to UPI, it has a very substantial, I would say, prowess in terms of developing into a global payment system. And a lot of countries, we all know, they are working on it. They are working with Government of India. They are working with NPCI. And I think the technology is being provided to other countries as well. And I think it's just a matter of time, because something which comes with so much of ease, convenience and cost savings, why would a country not want to implement? Well, in terms of banking, there are a lot of countries which are far more advanced than us. Yes. They've been, financial inclusion in our country may be a reasonably new concept. But in those countries, banking has got almost 100% penetration. So I think for them, it's easier. Only thing is, they don't have this technology. So I think this technology is being exported to a lot of countries. You will see in a few years that India's UPI becomes global UPI. And this is something which every Indian should be proud of, Anubha.
Ms. Tandon, what are the next big opportunities for UPI? What do you think is in the next decade? How do we see this technology, this format, you know, advancing?
See, in the immediate future, as we all know, that apart from the seven countries that have already adopted UPI, India is also pushing for UPI to become a standard within the BRICS group, which has new member nations now. And if this happens, what it means for India is that it will not only improve remittances at home, it will also boost financial inclusion, then it will raise India's profile as a global tech leader in the digital payment space. Anubha, if you look at India's rise as the fintech market, which you were asking a while ago, see, Indians have adopted to technologies very fast, not today, but always. We are a very unique nation in the sense that we are culturally rooted. We are an ancient civilization, and yet we are very, very smart and fast at adopting changes and technology. I think that's one reason for our cultural and civilizational resilience.
Right.
Now, I have just a small data point to share. Yeah. In 2025, India was ranked as the third most active fintech market globally. It had recorded 226 financings, and it was trailing only the United States and the United Kingdom. This was a FT Partners 2025 Annual Fintech Almanac report.
Okay.
So, you see, India is already there on the global stage. Indian UPI is already an acknowledged framework globally. Just imagine half of the world's real-time transactions happening in India. At a time when you remember some opposition leaders in the past used to say, how will a farmer sitting in a village operate, you know, real-time interface on the mobile? So Indians have proven everybody wrong. We are a very, very technologically savvy nation, and we are already there. Only thing is, it has to be a sustained push, and which I think the government is already doing.
You know, I would just ask, say, to both of you, so we've been talking about the UPI, how it is being used, and, you know, it has become such a success. So, in fact, the real success of UPI is not just in the volume of transactions that we've been discussing, but in who's transacting it and how we are. Like you said, we as Indians have been very adaptable, you know, to changes. And that is what, you know, has made the success of the UPI story. So at the end, I just want to ask both of you that do you look at UPI not just as a payment system, but a people's platform? In fact, is it also that it is not only transformed how India pays, but how India progresses? Ms. Tandon, let's begin with you first.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you see, financial inclusion was the ultimate objective behind a lot of systems that were put in place. And we must remember, Anubha, that the success of UPI is not accidental.
Yes.
The success of UPI in our country is a very calibrated, it's a very, very calculated move. For example, first came, like I said earlier, Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana. You opened so many bank accounts. You know, now you have around 60 crore bank accounts in the country where the system and the penetration was very low in 2014. Then you brought up the Aadhaar and the digital identity. And then now what is happening is UPI is penetrating even deeper through the next pillar of connectivity in the country, which is the 5G rollout.
Yes.
Now, India has actually managed to achieve one of the fastest 5G rollouts in the world. And there are around 5 lakh base stations already active, and almost all districts have been covered. So what is happening is everything is very deliberate. It's not an accident. So when you ask whether this helps people progress, that is the objective. The objective is to the financial democratic routes through UPI and through the entire financial inclusion framework, which includes Jan Dhan, Aadhaar, the Jam Trinity, which Mr. Kohli also mentioned, and the penetration through the 5G revolution now.
Mr. Kohli, your closing comments.
Well, I think the next level of UPI for me is penetrating into the various other services. Like the RuPay card today is linked with UPI. You know, SIPs, you know, systematic investment plans, they are happening through UPIs. As we already spoke of the credit line through UPI. So I think UPI as an independent platform is now a medal winner. But then now UPI integrating with various other platforms and means of payments, your bill payments, your everything that you do in terms of your finance. I think for me, that's the next, because the moment you book a movie ticket or something, you are taken to a UPI app. The moment you want to invest in SIP, you're taken to a UPI app. So I think UPI is now becoming from an independent platform to being a facilitator for every kind of financial transaction and other services as well, Anubha.
It has become a way of life for every Indian now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Undoubtedly.
Ms. Aditi Tandon, Mr. Sharad Kohli, thank you both for joining us on Akashwani's Current Affairs program and sharing your views and insights on the issue of UPI's role in strengthening India's digital payment infrastructure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Listeners, you can listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official as well.
Current Affairs.